few years ago, I shared a joke that had some strange looks coming from the men in the church. I don't know why. The joke was, and some of you will remember, that one day three men were walking along and came upon a raging river. They needed to get to the other side, but they had no idea how to do it. The first man prayed, saying, God, please give me strength to cross the river. Bang! God gave him big muscular arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in 2 hours. And seeing this, the second man prayed, saying, Lord, please give me the strength and ability to cross the river. And bang, God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in 3 hours. Well, the third man saw how things were going, and so he prayed, saying, please, God, give me the strength, the ability, and the intelligence to cross the river. And bang, God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map and walked across the bridge. Now you know why. I have a love for rivers and lakes and oceans. Where we come from, just 45 minutes away is the Indian Ocean. Marlon grew up right at the ocean. Melissa comes from Cape Town, where there are two oceans that meet, the Atlantic and the Indian. This is beautiful sights. And some of the most beautiful places I've seen included water. And in fact, while growing up, the best times I can remember happened at or near to rivers and dams and swimming pools and the Indian Ocean. One day I was at the beach in Durban with my friends, and we were enjoying the waves. We were swimming and body surfing and stuff. And suddenly a strong backwash took me deeper into the sea, where a huge wave came crashing down upon me, and I disappeared beneath the surface of the water. And I remember looking up and seeing the water, the level, and trying to get up there, and then another wave, and it just got higher. I couldn't stand. I was powerless. The sea was in control. But I, instead of panicking, I relaxed, and I let the current push me towards the shore. And that day I learned that while it is dangerous to be in over one's head, as it were, total surrender is absolutely necessary to survive the forces of the sea. Do you agree? Now, with that in mind, let me ask some questions. Can you today, friends, say that you are exactly where God wants you to be in your spiritual life? Have you reached the level of spiritual maturity and obedience to the word of God that you feel God wants you to have? One more question. Are you living in the center of God's perfect will for your life right now? And perhaps some aren't. The truth is that, friends, God desires that we come to the place of spiritual maturity and obedience to the word, his word, and to his perfect will in our lives. And to be honest, we all need encouragement to do so. It is said the biggest room in the world is room for improvement. And that is what my sermon is about today, friends. It's about becoming aware of what God wants each of us to be. For some, It is leaving the shore of a casual, stagnant, disappointed Christianity and to begin to wade deeper into deep spiritual waters of a committed, spiritful life. You see, friends, what happened in the modern church is that we become too cautious to give our all to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are afraid because we think that God may require more than we are willing to give. And so we begin to reason in our minds that, hey, if I don't commit to the Lord fully, then I won't be guilty of failing in my commitment to Christ. And perhaps we are just afraid of getting in over our heads. Now, in the book of Revelation 21, verse 1, I read about the river of God, one that flows from the throne of God and the Lamb, Christ Jesus, down the middle of a great street of the city. The river of God had the power to change the landscape of your lives and my life. It comes to us not because of our loveliness and our virtue, but because God sends it to us because of his great love and his favor for us. Amen? God desires that as he sends the river of life our way, that we not only enter into it, but we allow ourselves to be totally submerged. Urged in it, vision of the river that springs forth from God's throne. And we're going to read it in Ezekiel chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. And the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the other outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when he returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. There are many people who hear the gospel and they see what the Holy Spirit can and is doing in the life of others, and yet that's as far as they get. They never completely respond and surrender their lives to Jesus. And sadly, as one lady said to me, it's not for me. It's not my thing. It's not my style. They simply don't want a relationship with our Lord. Now, if that's you, my friend, let me say this. Thank you for being here. But listen. There's no bridge over the river of God. You can't get to the Lord if you do not enter into a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Ezekiel first saw the waters. He could not just run in there by himself. He could not just go in the water alone. Friends, you cannot enter the kingdom of God or experience the Holy Spirit in your life unless you come God's way. You don't have the ability to step out without the Lord leading the way. You can't come to Him in repentance unless the Holy Spirit deals with us and brings conviction. And for this river to do you any good, you have to get in. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Pharisee, in John 3, verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." In other words, Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, leave the shores of stagnant religious belief. You know what's religion? Religion is man's attempt to reach God by adhering to a list of rules and regulations. That is religion. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, enter into a new life. Move your faith from your head to your heart, because there's more. Catherine Pullman used to say, there is more, so much more. We are called to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We are called to gaze upon his holiness and upon his beauty. We are called to nestle into his heart, because our heart's home is in the midst of his heart. That's the place of intimacy with God, friends. As the man in Ezekiel's vision measured the river, he carried Ezekiel along with him. And as a result, the prophet was led into deepening waters. And now Ezekiel's venture speaks to us as believers today. The first thing we see in this, friends, is that Ezekiel was led ankle deep. Ankle deep. Verse 3 says, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. And according to the New Living Translation, and I like that one because we don't talk about cubits anymore. 1,750 feet or 530 meters. And then led me through the waters, the water that was ankle deep. Now, friends, when the Holy Spirit deals with the life of an individual, that person must respond in repentance or rebellion. When the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, you can push him away. That's rebellion. Or you can repent, and that's the response God wants. If our response is one of repentance, you know what we have actually done in the Spirit? We have taken the first step of faith. And then God saves us. And we begin our journey through life with Him. What a glad day. Remember when you got saved? Hey, what a glad day when you decided to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know what happened? At that moment, angels were rejoicing. Your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God gave you the power to become His child. Isn't that lovely? At that moment, friends, that's what happened in the spiritual realm. This is the ankle deep level of faith. But let me say quickly, it doesn't stop there. Ankle deep in the water is symbolic of foundational faith. Now, mind you, You need to have a good, solid foundation for your faith. But ankle deep is too shallow. And that's why the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, New King James says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, the New Living Translation says, leaving the basic teaching about Christ, he says what? Let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and from faith towards God. I know my pastor friend, he only preaches every day. Get saved, people. And they've been saved. But nothing else. Listen, friends, if all you know about is being born again, that's good. But you need to wade in deeper into the water. For being born again is not the end of the journey. It is the beginning of the journey. It's essential, but it is basic and elementary. It's too shallow. You need to grow in your knowledge. You need to grow in your faith. You need to wade in deeper into the water. And here's why. It's because at this depth, and I've seen lots of people do it, there is the danger to behave the way you want to. Just imagine, the water's up to my ankles. Out, in. Out, in, no big deal, right? We tend to fluctuate between commitment and non-commitment. Our friends can't say that we are saved. There is very little resistance to our steps because we have not yet learned to recognize the voice of God. And as the divine messenger led Ezekiel through the waters, they didn't stay at that level for too long. Next, Ezekiel is taken knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits, 1,750 feet, and led me through water that was knee deep. Now it came to my knee. Some have suggested that knee deep is symbolic of prayer. It represents a life that is dependent on God. And certainly, if you are to go on to spiritual maturity, listen, everybody, friends, it's essential that you have a vibrant prayer life. You need to spend time alone with God in prayer. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 1, men ought to always pray and not faint. The New Living Translation says they should always pray and never give up. Friends, prayer is communion and communication with God. You can't make it unless you pray. You can't give God the silent treatment and expect to have a healthy relationship with Him. Our Christian life is as strong as our prayer life. No person will ever stand taller than when he is on his knees. Others have suggested that knee deep is symbolic of tradition. There are some whose religion is a knee-jerk reaction. It's something that they do without much thought as to the reason why they do it. A friend of mine invited me to a very traditional church. After that, I said, why did you do this? Why did you do this? He said, I don't know, but I'm trying. And I wanted to say, don't try to serve God. Just serve God. You see the difference? I'm trying to serve God. God says, stop it. Serve me. Don't try. There's nothing wrong with tradition as long as it doesn't entrap one in the past and stifle growth and progress. There are many people in the church who are just knee deep. There are many people in the church who are just knee deep. They come because they've always come. And when they get here, they're still not here. These people are comfortable in staying right where they are. Knee deep is further than ankle deep, but it's still more, you are still more out of the water than in the water. These people are at the church, but not really in the church. Some of them are in the church, but the church is not in them. Knee deep, friends, though better than ankle deep, is not enough. You need to wade a little deeper into the water. God is saying, step on out a little further. Let me draw you closer to myself. There is more, so much more. And then Ezekiel is led waist deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits, 1,750 feet, and led me through the water that was up to my waist. I like this. Hey, when you go to the swimming pool, you want to be at least up to your waist. But you know, waist deep is the halfway point. You're halfway in, but you're also halfway out. Some people have a halfway religion. And that is, it reminds me of the Jews in Elijah's day when they were kind of halting between two. I had an old man that I fell in love with here in this town the first day I arrived here. And I called him Guido. I thought that was his name, Guido. I realize it means grandpa. And then I used to say, Guido, how are you? And his favorite answer was this way, that way. This way, that way. And he had this lovely voice. And that's what happens when you're in the up to your waist. And you this way or that way. One Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Waist deep. Waist deep religion, friends, desires to have a partnership with God. I want to say this very carefully. Waist deep religion desires to have a partnership with God. Have you ever heard people say, I'm so glad God is a part of my life? Well, he has no desire to be a part of your life. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die gain. In the original language, there were no prepositions. What Paul was saying, for me to live, Christ. Do you see that? Not Christ is a part of me. Christ is all of me. Do you see that, friends? Life equals Christ. This is what Paul is saying. This is not a partnership, friends. We are not on equal footing with God. He doesn't want have us consult with us. He doesn't consult with us, friends, before he does anything. No, he is not our co-pilot. Listen, I say that again, man. God is not our co-pilot. Have you read the bumper sticker that says, Jesus, take the wheel? In other words, I'm in charge. I'm messing up royally. Okay, Jesus, you take the wheel. No, that doesn't work like that, friends. He doesn't want to ride along with us. No. The Christian life is not about partnership. The Christian life is about discipleship. Jesus said, follow me. You see that? Follow me. And so waist deep is still not deep enough. You need to wade in a little deeper into the water. Now, let me say something positive about this waist deep situation. When one has waded out waist deep into the river, more of the river and less of the man is seen. Do you agree with that? More of the river and less of the man is seen. John 3, verse 30, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. We often describe a Christian who is waist deep in their commitment, spirit-filled, and strong. And most people I know are here. The waters now had a greater effect on Ezekiel's walk. Have you walked in the water when it comes up to here? Hey, you struggle, man. You've got to lift your arms and use them to get you going. He has to slow down and start to give into the power of the river. It is at this point that the river has captured a greater part of Ezekiel's thinking. Scripture says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Friends, when we have waded out this far and we feel the power of the rivers, of the river, other people can begin to see it. Your life becomes an epistle read of men. Your life becomes a testimony to others of the changing power of God. It will tell on you. There's a saying, the further you go, the more we grow. See? The further we go, the more we grow. Finally, Ezekiel is carried out into the water that is too deep for him to touch bottom. He's forced to swim. Verse 5 says, he measured off another 2,000 cubits, 1,750 feet. But now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. Ezekiel is led into the water that was over his head. It was a river that no one could cross. Now, friends, listen. Now the river's in control. Now the river's in control. It takes you where it will. There's no power. A person has no power over the destination. The river just takes you where it will. Person is at the mercy of the river when it's in over your head. This represents the highest spiritual level that any believer can reach in life. It doesn't get any deeper than this. And this, friends, is ultimately where God wants all his children to be. And there are four reasons I say this, friends. Number one is this, when you this deep, You have gone beyond your own ability. God is in charge of your life. Secondly, when you are this deep, you have ceased to control yourself. Ezekiel was no longer wading. Wading means walking. He was just resting. You see that? He gave himself over to the power of the river. And this is where God wants to bring you and I, friends. He wants us to rest in him and allow him to support us and carry us through this life. This is where we find we are resting in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, when you are in this deep, you have given yourself up to the will of the river. You have given yourself up to the will of the river. This is how the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to lose sight of ourselves. He wants us to lose sight of ourselves, our goals, our ambitions, our dreams. And he wants us to be totally, listen, 100% surrendered to him and to his will for our lives. God is looking for surrender from you and I, friends. Now we begin to say, like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Fourthly, when you're in this deep, you are just happy. You are content to be carried by the river. The will of the river becomes your will too. Friends, let me say in closing here, the last point that I want to make. The man led Ezekiel back to the banks of the river. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Everywhere the river flowed, it brought new life. Amen. Everywhere the river flowed, it made salt water fresh. It made bitter water sweet. That's the way of the word of God, friends. Everywhere it flows, it brings vitality and new life. I don't know how you feel about this, but as I was preparing this, I was saying, Lord, I am going to wade into this water. I want to go deep so much into your word that I won't be able to stand anymore, where you will be in total control and in charge of my life. His word now becomes a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. His word is a comfort to my troubled soul and a sword in the time of war. His word is food to my soul and strength to my spirit. His word picks me up when I'm down and turns me around when I'm wrong, friends. I am going to wade into his word. I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to lean on his word. And there's one word, friends, that I want to use. When Christians move deeper and deeper in their relationship with God, listen to that word, revival. Amen? It's called revival. Revival is when God's people get to a place where they are committed to Jesus and to the call of God as they can get. Revival is not for ankle-deep people. Why? Because they keep fluctuating between commitment and non-commitment. Revival isn't for those who are knee-deep and waist-deep in God's work because they feel the ripple now and then and they experience the power and they see the answer to prayer. But they never really surrender completely to the will of God. They also remain in charge of some areas of my life, of our lives, my life, your life. Friends, the church will experience true revival when we give up to God in total surrender and we commit our lives to him without reservation. We must put our faith in God's ability to keep us, God's provision for every part of our lives, and God's faithfulness to do what he has promised. How deep are you today? Wherever you are, God says, come closer. God is saying, come closer. There's more. Have a deeper experience. You've got to get in pretty deep to where your feet can no longer touch the bottom. It's awesome there. Again, let me say this. For those who have never gotten into the water, into the river of God, make today your day and give it up to Jesus. Take that step of faith. You can do it. We can all have a deeper experience. We can all have a deeper relationship with him. We can all surrender to him.